So back in 1972, there was a book that came out by an author named Christopher Lash. And the name of the book was A Culture of Narcissism. And the book made quite a splash. I know in my undergrad years, and even during my years in grad work, this book seemed to come up, and it's still in print to this day. That's the kind of splash it made. And at that time, this is before the internet, and print was the way you kept informed, and this book just rolled off the shelves. And Christopher Lash was a sociologist, a social scientist, who had begun to observe in our culture in the United States some trends that troubled him. And these trends were traits of narcissism, of which he wrote about in the book. And he put all kinds of social science behind the claims he was making in this book, which is that traits of narcissism in 1972 were making their appearance in our culture, and he kind of issued a warning over the bow. If we don't do something about this, these trends will continue to grow. Well, over the last, I'd say, 3 years, I've been trying to read up on this material, because what happened was he wrote this book and there was a growth of new scientific studies that began to track these narcissistic traits within our culture. And the most recent book I read was published in 2019. It's called Don't You Know Who I Am? And it's about the culture of narcissism again. And in this book, which kind of surveys all this research over the last 40 years, the conclusion is that now we don't just have the beginning of the narcissistic trends, we've come full bore to a point in our culture now where we're actually rewarding narcissistic traits in others. That in fact, these are our leaders. Now, what does that mean? Well, to some degree, and all of this has social science behind it. They've administered the tests, they've looked at the data, and we have arrived to a point where we are rewarding this particular kind of traits. And there's two of them I'll point out. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of different kinds of traits, but there's two that stand out. And one of the narcissistic traits that has increased now is a lack of empathy. This is typical of narcissists. They have no empathy for you or me when we're suffering or undergoing difficulty or experiencing difficulty. There's a kind of indifference toward the suffering of others. While at the same time, that's accompanied by an entitlement to receive certain care and concern for me when I'm suffering. That is, when the narcissist suffers, the bar is much higher in terms of expectation. There's entitlement. You owe me when I'm suffering certain care, concern. Whereas when you suffer, I'm indifferent to it. And those qualities and traits within the current business market in which we live are what advance you. Because when you're dealing with competitors within a corporate environment, indifference to their suffering becomes necessary if you want to climb the ladder. No matter what I do to you, if you're suffering and miserable, it doesn't matter. As long as I'm advancing myself and bringing home the bottom line for the corporation, so that the corporate structure and environment is actually rewarding those who are unmoved by the troubles of others for the sake of the bottom line of the corporation as they continue to climb. But do something against them? Oh my goodness, all the drama comes out. Don't you know who I am? Do you realize who you're dealing with here? I'll destroy you if you're not careful. You better watch out. It's like a double standard. Now, I mention this to try to help us understand a few things, because when you get that kind of momentum going within the culture, it's so easy for us to come to this church and believe that God treats us the same way everybody else is. And if there's something we need to understand, especially during Advent, God is not a narcissist. He's not. Now, you might experience yourself challenged sometimes, and you go into prayer and you feel like he's not there. He's just indifferent to me and my suffering. He doesn't care if I suffer. And I'm here to tell you, you can't look at a crucifix and believe that for a moment. This is where God sat down and wept with us. And of course, the first reading brings this out. Comfort. Give comfort to my people. I'm aware and concerned for their suffering. Now is the time to give comfort. I'm on my way. I'm coming. I'm going to pull right up beside them and in their world, and I'm going to be with them. And he was with us. And he is not indifferent to what's going down in our lives, even to the littlest details in the quiet of your own home or in the wherever you're working, wherever you're located. He knows all of it, and he's not indifferent to it. And that's our faith. That's our faith. Some of you may have heard about Our Lady appearing in Fatima in 1917. Fatima is a small little village in Portugal. And Mary, the Mother of God, appeared there. And at one of her apparitions, she pulled aside her mantle. She had a mantle on. She pulled aside her mantle, and visible through her tunic were trails of blood. Her heart was bleeding, and the blood was running down her vestment, as the kids reported. That's empathy. She was feeling what we were going through at that time. In 1917, the First World War was well underway, a lot of suffering, killing, maiming, and Mary came. And her heart was bleeding because she was suffering. You might say, well, she's in her paradise. She's got it made. Couldn't she just look at us and say, hey, that's your problem. Hope you make it. Good luck, everybody. I'm in the peace of God's kingdom. No, she came among us. Her heart was bleeding. And she told us, unless you convert and believe and stop offending Jesus, there'll be a second, even worse war. And of course, we know what happened. The Second World War came, and that was when Adolf Hitler and his cronies killed millions. I guarantee you, Hitler was not a man of empathy. He could care less about who suffered around him. As long as it advanced himself, that's all that mattered. That's narcissism. And that's narcissism on steroids. That's tyranny. That's not our God. Mary is the mother of Jesus, and Jesus learned a lot from Mary as his mother, and he learned empathy, and he was empathetic. He was compassionate. Compassion is a word, cum passio in the Latin, cum with, passio, pati, patior, passus, sum, to suffer, cum passio, to suffer with another. Compassion means empathy. And this empathy is not weakness. It's not weakness. A lot of, especially men in our culture, treat it as though it is. If you're troubled or feel when someone else is suffering, that's a sign of weakness. No, you suck it up. But we just can't be indifferent to each other in this way. It's not what our God gives us. I am so grateful God doesn't treat me like that when I'm down. I've experienced his compassion. He cares about me when I'm weak and fallen and down. He doesn't want me to stay down weak as though he's some kind of insecure deity that if I get stronger, he's going to feel challenged by the fact that I'm getting stronger. No, we got to keep him down. Grovel. He helps me up, and he wants me to get strong. But strong in what? Being indifferent to the sufferings of others as I walk through life and unmoved by what's going on around me? That's being made of brass. And I've got 98.6 degree blood flowing through my veins, last I checked. You know, it takes a great deal of strength to remain empathetic to some of the things that are going on in our world today. It's really hard sometimes not to feel troubled by what we see and hear and listen to around us and experience at work and see people doing to each other this indifference to their difficulties and pains and sufferings. It's hard sometimes to see that. And the temptation is to take a drug. What's the drug of choice? The alcohol, the opioids. We had a big opioid crisis. Maybe it's the billions of dollars going into porn. Escape some way. Anesthetize the experience. Drug yourself. You won't feel anymore and suffer. I'm done with this. And there's another way, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us the strength we need to bear up and still be empathetic in our world and not bury our heads in the sand as though none of it's going on around us, because it is. The faith is under assault, and we need help, and Jesus wants to help us when we're weak. He wants to help us. He's the defender of the poor. He doesn't walk over weak people. It's a wonderful life if you don't weaken. Wow, what kind of a philosophy of life is that? And that's not Jesus. He gets down in the valleys of our weakness and fills them in. Takes down the mountains of our pride and opens up a highway to God and to one another. That's what we're talking about here. That's what Jesus does for us. He wants you to become strong in your ability to stay the course of goodness, which sometimes, just by the fact of what you see around you, can trouble you. And you can feel that, and you don't like it. And you come before your Lord and you just ask him to help you bear up without taking some kind of surrogate solution. Maybe drink a fifth of vodka or something so you don't feel anymore. That's not the way. The way Jesus taught us is the way of strength to bear up and stay on the course of goodness. Helping others, reaching out to them, not being indifferent to their plight, but attempting to help build them up, lift them up. And we can do this with him. We can. There's many people that have over the centuries, and Catholicism is all about asking us to join in and just make your contribution and don't give up. So as we come to this Advent season, we are preparing. Our God comes to be with us. He's not indifferent to us. Every single concern, care, worry, weakness, whatever you're grappling with, he's very close to it. He's not far away, and he's not indifferent. I can assure you of that. This is our God, Jesus Christ, come to save us.